Good morning. Welcome to the Sky Sunday with the Skies. I'd like to just throw out there this morning, how far have people come to this service this morning? Who's the furthest one away? Gabriel, how far did you come? Actually, he came from the upstairs. Okay, so he's out. Who else has come here from a longer distance? Oh, we have Helen Bonnet here today, who's from Massachusetts. Oh, wait a second. Looks like she's been beat out by the Greeniers, who are here from Connecticut. So we'd like to welcome the Greeniers here today. One of our very favorite families. What a great thing to have them with us today.
They drove all night to get here just for Sunday morning.
They drove all night to get here for Sunday morning. They're leaving right afterwards at 1 to get back for work tomorrow. No, just kidding. I wish, what we're going to do right now is I'm just going to step away from the camera. I'm just going to give you a little shot here of where we are in Prince Edward Island. Here's Chris from Ontario. You can see the beautiful green fields and the water below, and it's just really cool. This is my view, and this is your view. See that? You're really getting ripped off. Okay, this is our view. This is my view. This is yours. This is mine. Now, don't you wish you were here so you would get the rest of the view? Well, I'm glad that you feel that way because Revival PEI is coming very shortly, the last week of July, and would like you to come up and spend a few days with us praying for revival, praying for your family, praying for your friends and your church and your community. God really, really answers prayers, and the people who have been coming here faithfully have begun to see amazing things take place even in their communities. So please come up for a few days or a week or 10 days and if you can't make it during Revival PEI, then come up anytime during the summer. Just come up and spend some time in fellowship with us in prayer. You are very welcome here, and we look forward to seeing you. So we are going to turn over to Psalm 32 today, which is the revival psalm. This psalm encapsulates everything to do with authentic, genuine, Holy Spirit-initiated revival. So we're just going to go through this carefully in a minute. Let's pray first. Lord God, we thank you. We thank you for the spring. We thank you for the beauty that you have created. We thank you for the flowering trees. We thank you for the beautiful grass. We thank you for all the beauty you've made in the spring. We thank you especially for the lilacs and all the fragrance that is here in the spring, and it is an exact reflection of your personality and who you are. It reflects exactly your heart. And so what a glorious thing it is to be able to see into the personality of our God by looking out the window, by looking around us, that we can see who you are. And you are a God that we want to get close to. You're a God that we desire and we love. Lord, we set this day aside as family time with you to just be with this God who is so beautiful. Lord, may you prosper our souls. May you draw each one close to yourself. May you enlarge your kingdom. May each one be built up in the Spirit. We thank you for this day. Please bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, the revival Psalm 32 says, "How blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. How blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit." Okay, blessed is the one whose sin has been forgiven. This is the heart of revival. The heart of revival is that our sins are forgiven. Because we read over in Matthew that Jesus came that we would be cleansed from sin. All the rest is peripheral issues. Everything else that we hear about is preached about, everything else is peripheral. Having the provision of your needs or your desires, all these things are extra. The heart of the gospel is this, that our sins are forgiven, without which we can't enter into life. We cannot enter into that beautiful place that God has prepared for us. So how blessed is the one whose transgression has been forgiven? That's the heart of the matter. And every revival, every true revival, is about the forgiveness of sin. Now mark that, because there's a lot that is done in the name of revival today, and there's many things that are called revivals, but they do not deal with the issues of sin. And it is not a revival, it's just a rally, it's just a great concert, or it's just a bunch of speakers. It's just, don't call it a revival, because it's not. It might be stimulating or exciting, but it's not a revival. A revival is to do with sin and getting our hearts right before God. That is a revival. And the beauty of this is the revival can start with you today. It doesn't have, you don't have to wait for a tent meeting or a big meeting in a stadium. You don't have to wait for anything. You can be part of the quiet revival, which God is doing all across the U.S. and Canada, where regular people just like you are just suddenly becoming alive to the spiritual truth that we can be forgiven for our sins and that we can be completely reconciled with God. And so this is spawning a wonderful quiet revival, which no one can measure or make money from. And this is the work of the true Holy Spirit. This is what he's doing right now. Okay, so true revival is about the forgiveness of sin. Now, verse 3 says, when I kept silent about my sin, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me, and my vitality drained away as with the fever heat of summer. Okay? This is a perfect picture of where the general state of Christendom is and where the general state of most Christians are. The state of most Christians is reflected here. That we are groaning and his hand is heavy on us. Our vitality is drained away. This is a very clear picture of what we see going on around us. Not in the world at large. Revival is not about the world at large. Revival is about the body of Christ. And we see that the vitality of the body of Christ has, for the most part, drained away. And there's a reason that we have lost our vitality, we have lost our joy, we have lost our victory, we are not overcoming, and we are completely ineffective, and we are disillusioned, discouraged, depressed, despondent, all the D words. And this is the result of one thing, which is the first part of that verse, when I kept silent about my sin. This is the sign, these are the signs that we have become, that we have been silent concerning our sins. Now, the reason that we're silent about our sins is twofold. One, we're either willfully walking against God, we are actually pursuing things that we know are wrong and we're purposefully going after them. Or it is through ignorance, and that is where a great many people fall into sin, is through ignorance, because we have left off preaching about sin. It's not anywhere you can turn to. A million channels, Christian channels on TV, you'll never hear any mention of sin. You can visit thousands of churches and you'll never hear anything about sin. And so we have a comfortably tolerant level of sin in our life that nobody's talking about. Pastors aren't talking about it because they're comfortable in their level of sin. Everybody is comfortable in a certain level of indulgence in the world and indulgence in worldly things. We're all quiet, and it's like we've made this covenant together that nobody's going to talk about it, because if somebody does, we're going to all have to change. So we have this nice quiet covenant where, like, nobody's ruffling any feathers, nobody's rocking the boat. We're all just like on a comfortable level of sin, and we want it that way. We want it that way. You and us are compromised in a thousand ways. You don't think you are, because we've all been in that comfortable level where nobody's saying anything. But you are compromised in a thousand ways. You have made a pact with the world in a thousand ways. You seek the same things that the world seeks. You talk like the world talks. You act like the world acts. You have the same desires as the world. You're full of passions. You're full of all earthly desires, and desires to have your kingdom on earth, desire to have your security on earth, desire to have your fulfillment on earth. You have compromised in a million ways, and that love you have for God, which is genuine, has been relegated to a little tiny dot on the side of your heart, so that he's just one of those things that you like. Okay? So you love a million things in this world. You love a million things. And then you also just try to add Jesus to that, because when you're in church and you're worshiping God with nice music, you just feel so great. And so you love God. But man, it's just one dot. It's just one tiny speck in your spectrum of things that you love. Just take an inventory of the things you do during the week and where your heart is during the week. The things that you think about and you pursue, and all the things that absorb all your heart. You just take an inventory and you see what's in there. And you'll be shocked. You'll be shocked and surprised at the things that you love more than God. And whether it's because you didn't know about it, which is actually most likely the case, you just didn't know about it, because nobody talks like this. Nobody talks about the fact that we need to have Christ become preeminent in our life, that we need to learn to love him more than everything else in this world. That's the goal of the Holy Spirit's work in your life, is that Jesus would become more important to you than anything in this world. That's what it means to have Christ preeminent in our lives. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. And so you didn't even know that what you were doing is wrong. You're just acting like everybody else. You're just doing everything what everybody else does, including your pastors and your leaders and your elders. You're just doing the same things as everybody else. And so how could that be wrong? Because the Holy Spirit has not changed. The Word of God has not changed. The holiness of God has not changed. God is admittedly old-fashioned. He's still got the same values that he did at Pentecost. And so the job of the Holy Spirit is to work in us to where Jesus becomes our all in all. To where he becomes our peace. He becomes our joy. He becomes our security. He becomes our pleasant pastime. This, he wants to be our treasure. Okay? So, these things, these compromises, these overt sins that we have, and these compromises that we have, is, as long as they remain unaddressed, as long as they're just going on in our lives, as long as we keep silent about these things, our body wastes away and our groaning is all day long and God's hand is heavy on us and our vitality drains away. Okay? And so as we look at Christians and their lives, we see their vitality is gone. And most likely your vitality is gone because of this tolerance to sin and being silent about it. Whether through willfulness or ignorance, as long as we're silent about it, the vitality of God is missing from our lives. Now, that describes you. If that describes your mood and your day, that it's missing the vitality of God, the reason is there's areas of sin in your life that you have kept silent about. So my job and the job of every minister of God is to point out the things that would cause your vitality to be robbed from you, so that we will no longer keep silent about it. Now let's look at verse 4. 5, I'm sorry. But I acknowledged my sin to thee, and my iniquity I did not hide. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and thou didst forgive the guilt of my sin. Okay, so revival is nothing more than this, that I will acknowledge my sin to thee. That's all revival is. You see, as we talk about in our concerts, God is wonderfully merciful toward us. And he tolerates any number of stumblings in our lives, in all of our failings and our faults and our flaws. All these things that are in us that are against God, he patiently tolerates because he knows he's going to make us like the Lord eventually. So he deals with us with patience, as we've spoken about in the last few weeks. But he does require honesty. We have to do an examination of our heart. We have to look inside. We have to let the Holy Spirit turn a searchlight on our lives. And then all we have to do is acknowledge those things to God. As difficult as they might seem to be, and as painful as they are, and as much as we're clutching on to these things, because these are things we have built our life on. We built our life on these things in the world, and these desires and passions of the flesh. We built our whole world on them. And so to acknowledge them is scary. It's difficult. But nevertheless, we must, if we're going to have the vitality of God, we must address them. And so, as we acknowledge these things to him, as we acknowledge our compromises and our worldliness and our sinfulness, as we acknowledge them to God, an amazing miracle takes place. An amazing miracle takes place, which is that all those sins are absolutely pardoned. They are completely wiped out. He forgives the guilt of our sin. How blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. How blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, in whose heart there is no deceit. That's back in verse 2. You see, that's the core, that's the heart of revival, that in whose heart is no deceit. As long as we would deceive ourselves and try to deceive the world and try to deceive God and try to say, oh, we're upright Christians, we're doing as well as anyone can expect. As long as we're deceiving ourselves, our vitality will be gone. He wants there to be no deceit in us. He wants us to simply, plainly, humbly acknowledge the things in the areas that are offensive to him. And when we do, He forgives them. You see, the penalty has already been paid. The price is already paid. The atonement has already been made for those in whose heart is no deceit. For those who come to the Lord and confess their sins, confess their worldliness, confess their compromise, their sin is absolutely wiped out. Okay? Wiped out. That is the miracle of Jesus' atonement. So it's honesty and repentance and forgiveness. That's revival. And we can have it in our life today, all the time. So, now, you might say, oh, well, I'm just going to fall right back into it. Well, that's probably true. It's okay. Get up and repent again. The very fact that you're acknowledging your compromise and your worldliness and your sin, that is a great step. And as you keep doing that, God will start to give you victory. You will start to overcome these areas that are so stubbornly attached to you. You'll never overcome them as long as you gloss over them, and you'll never have any joy in Christ. But as you acknowledge them, the Spirit of God begins to work in them. And as you continually confess and live in a constant state of repentance, the Spirit of God is enabled to work in you, and you will start being conformed to the image of Jesus. That's the miracle of repentance. That's why we harp on it all the time, because it's the miracle of the new life is repentance. It's not trying and attacking the Christian life like going on a crash diet. You can't do it in your strength and your own will. It comes through repentance and humility. Just saying, Lord God, I stumbled again for the 900th time today, but I ask for you to forgive me and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. That is a prayer that God answers. That is a prayer that God answers. That's a prayer that the Holy Spirit rushes to fulfill. When we say, Lord, I'm sorry I stumbled again. I'm sorry that I allowed some earthly love to distract me from you, some earthly passion to take my heart off of you. I'm sorry. Please help me. The power of God is now on your side. And so instead of the hand of the Lord be heavy against you, now the power of God's hand is for you. Just by that tiny twist, that change in your attitude, the power of God that was against you is now for you. By that tiny flip, as Joel says in our concert, two words, I'm sorry, and your world is flipped upside down. And now, God is on your side. God is for you. God is with you. God is pouring out His grace. God will establish you in righteousness. God has covered all of your transgressions. In that two words and the heart attitude that goes with it. Now it doesn't matter how many stubborn sins there are in your world. Doesn't matter. Those two words have changed everything. And God is now working for you and with you and will help you step by step to overcome these things that so easily beset you. Okay, so this is the power. This is real revival. And then it says down in verse 6. Therefore, let everyone who is godly pray to thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Okay, so revival is not addressing the world at large. The revival is addressing you and I. It's addressing us who are called by His name. It says, therefore, let everyone who is godly pray to thee in a time when he can be found. This is the time. This is the time. It can't be put off. The mission God has given to us specifically is that we are to be a shout to say the bridegroom comes. And surely the time is at hand. Surely the time is close. And the Lord's day is coming soon. This is the time to call on Him while He may be found. This is the time not to put it off. Don't put it off a week or a month or a year. Do it today. Get on your knees today. Get on your knees this afternoon. Get on your knees right now. Just say, Lord God, just bear your heart to the Lord and say, Lord, show me what is wrong. Show me what offends you. Show me what is against you. I don't want anything between us at all. Show me what is offending you. And then as He shows you, which He will, He's faithful to show you. That's the Holy Spirit's job, is to convict us, to show us where we're sinning. And then as we take each area and we just humbly bring it before Him, say, Lord, I'm sorry. Yeah, I see it. I'm so sorry. Man, you will have revival. You personally will be part of the quiet revival. You'll be there. You'll be revived. And the vitality of God will come back to you. As it says here, He will become your hiding place. He will preserve you from trouble. He will surround you with songs of deliverance. Because now God is for you. God is on your side because you have become a man after His own heart. That's all David had. Why was David a man after his own heart? Because he was humble. Because he was always addressing his sins before God. And so you can become a man or a woman after David's heart just by entering into that attitude, not glossing over sin, but openly confronting it and confessing it. And then He will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. He will counsel you with His eye upon you. I'll just finish out the song. Do not be as a horse or a mule, which have no understanding, whose trappings include a bit and bridle to hold them in check, or otherwise they will not come near you. How many of us are like that? Unless God drags us to Himself, we won't come near. How many of us are like that? Can spend time with God and we can do anything in the world. God can't drag us to spend time with Him. Okay, we're like horses and mules that have no understanding. If we don't have a bit and bridle, we're not pulled to God, we won't even come near Him. Many are the sorrows of the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, loving kindness shall surround him. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous ones. Shout for joy, all you who are upright in heart. You can become upright in heart today. Even if tomorrow you go out and you look exactly the same as you did yesterday. Even if you do the same things you did yesterday, you can be upright in heart if there's no deceit in your heart. And if you come before the Lord today, say, Lord, I'm sorry for all these things. Please forgive me and help me. So tomorrow you may stumble into all those things. But when you do, you have a place to run to now. You're not glossing over it. You're addressing it. Now that you have become the righteousness of Christ, now the power of God is on your side. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the miracle of repentance. We thank you for the miracle of repentance. We thank you for the miracle of an overcoming life, which is nothing more than being honest before you and letting all of these things of our heart be exposed to your light. And so, Lord, we come before you today and ask you to expose them to us. that we might deal with them. I pray that you'd send a tremendous spirit of conviction upon all those who hear this message. A tremendous spirit of conviction, and that their eyes would be wonderfully opened to see the areas of compromise, worldliness, and backsliding, Lord, in their lives. I pray you send a tremendous spirit of conviction with this message, and that all who hear would come into the quiet revival, that they would be part of a brand new life in you. Lord, though we may stumble, yet you continue to forgive us. God before us, who can be against us? We thank you, Lord, for this day. Lord, may it be an absolute radical change in our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, I'm glad you could be here with us today. And again, I hope and pray that you will consider coming up to visit, because the fellowship, the prayer, Christ-centeredness, and the focus will be a great encouragement to you. And it's only May. There's still plenty of time to make your plans to come to PEI. It's not that far, and it's a beautiful drive from any direction. So please think about that and come visit us. In the meantime, may the Lord greatly bless you. Bye.